Well, good morning, Northridge Church. It's great to gather together as a family. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And I genuinely hope if you're a guest or a regular Northridger, you feel that welcome home from the moment you hit the parking lot or you log online to our online campus. We hope you feel welcomed, loved, and cared for here at Northridge Church. And so welcome home and welcome to the family. And hey, we got a little bit of celebrating to do. Today is the 10-year anniversary of our Webster campus. And so can we give it up for our Webster campus and God using it for 10 years? And to our Webster family, we love you guys. We're so grateful for all that you do in the Webster community. And we believe God has more in store for you. And just a reminder for all of us of how faithful, how good God has been to our church year after year, decade after decade. And so again, welcome to Northridge Church. If you got your Bible, I'd encourage you to grab it, your device, turn to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13, I'm going to read to you the words of David. And as I read these words, I want you to do something with me. I just want you to kind of try to feel what David is feeling when he wrote these words down. I want you to you to put yourself in his shoes and kind of try to understand the things that he's saying. Let me read it to you, Psalm 13. He says, "How long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." I mean, you don't have to read that many times to feel David's frustration with God. His desperation for something to change. And you wonder, like, what caused David to write these words down? What was going on in his life? And we know David is probably facing some form of hardship, some form of horrible circumstances. We know he experienced those in his life. Maybe he was writing it from the perspective of a younger man being chased down by the king of Israel trying to kill him. And maybe it was the time where he was king of Israel and his own son Absalom tried to conspire against him. We don't know exactly, no, but we know, we can sense in his tone that David is struggling. There is darkness looming over David's mind. And what I love about this passage is it gives us a little bit of a window into what was going on in David's head, what he was thinking. I mean, if you read this passage, you begin to think David was wondering the question, like, Lord, why have you forgotten me? Maybe some of you are wondering that right now. You're walking through something hard and you're like, God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you forsaken me? Maybe you're wondering what David thought, like, well, God, where have you gone? Like, if ever I needed you, God, it would be right now in these circumstances. And instead of you feeling your presence, I feel your distance. I feel like you're nowhere to be found, God. David wondered, like, why have you brought this sorrow and this pain upon me? Now, that's something we've all thought in our heads. God, why would you make me go through this? God, why would I have to navigate? Why would you bring this pain into my life? Why do I have to deal with this sorrow day after day? And then David finally got to the point where he wondered, why does it feel like evil wins? You ever look at our culture and our world and wonder, like, why are the bad guys on top? Well, why does it feel like evil just continues to win and win and win? Where's the victory, God? And every one of these questions that kind of sits in David's head in these circumstances, it feels like in David's head, the darkness, the negativity is pressing in. It's looming over him. And many of us understand that because we're in that same battle. It's the battle when it comes in our mind to depression. The dark thoughts that sit in our head that won't seem to go away. You see, that word depression is a pretty common word in our culture. Over the last 20 years, through this mental health crisis that our culture, us as individuals and in our world has faced, depression has been maybe one of the most top words that we've used to express some of the struggle that many people go through. Did you know that depression affects over 18 million adults? That's one out of every 10. Did you know that depression is the major cause of why someone commits suicide every 12 minutes? That means by the end of this sermon, two people, according to stats, will have committed suicide because of the darkness that sits right here. And ultimately, that's why we're having this conversation. That's why we're in this series called Mindfield, because what sits in our head, what we think about, truly does matter. And I'll be honest, I think the church in general, churches all over the place, like the Big C Church, has done a really good, really bad job of even talking about this. We've just pretended like it doesn't exist. And can I just publicly declare for every church, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we've handled this maybe improperly, but we can change that moving forward. So when it comes to this word depression, what's interesting is if you study the Bible, David wasn't the only guy who struggled with like dark thoughts in his head. There was actually a prophet of God, a guy who God came to, spoke to, and he would speak to the people. His name was Elijah. He was a prophet of God, and even a prophet of God struggled with dark thoughts. It happened in 1 Kings 19 when King Ahab is trying to kill the prophet of God. It says this, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. That makes sense, right? If someone's trying to kill you, I'd encourage you to get out of Dodge. Run for your life. This is when he came to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servants there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Can you imagine how much the darkness has to creep into your head where you just look to God and say, I'm done. I don't want to live anymore. Take my life, God. I'm not worth anything. And honestly, that's the trajectory of the darkness that people wrestle with through in their head every single day. And so as we talk about this battle in our mind, this barrage of negative thoughts, I want to start by just giving a general definition of what depression is. And as I do this, I want you to understand a couple things. One, I'm not a doctor. I have been trained through the medical industry, and so it would be unwise for me to come at depression from a clinical standpoint. Right, I'm gonna come at this as a pastor from the spiritual aspect. I believe God speaks to our struggle in our mind. But to make this a full conversation, I sat down with a doctor this week to talk about the other side of this struggle. His name is Dr. Mark Oldham. He goes to our Brighton campus. He is kind of a specialist in this area. We'll release that podcast this week. I'd encourage you to listen to it. But as we approach depression, what is depression? Well, from a general standpoint, depression is a persistent emotional state of dark and negative thoughts. It's when dark clouds loom over your head and your heart and don't seem to leave. People say you can identify if you have depression or not by knowing that you used to love things and now you can no longer enjoy them. That's kind of the place depression leads you. And what's frustrating about this word depression is we use one word to describe a gamut and a plethora of different phases and conditions of depression. Right, we know in Rochester, many of us, if not all of us, deal with a little bit of seasonal depression where it's gray every day and it just snows and snows. You're like, I just want to see the sun. But there's also clinical depression. People have been wrestling through depression their entire life. And so we use this one word to describe so many different circumstances and seasons of navigating this topic. But we know that depression, it has an impact on people's lives.
When someone is depressed, it can affect their ability to sleep at night. It can cause a lack of motivation for their day. It can be debilitating. It can lead to suicidal thoughts. It can change your appetite. It can change the way you view yourself. It can lead to a place where you feel hopeless. And I want to pause here. And I want to speak to maybe a few people here who have been wrestling with depression for a lot of their life. And it's been so dark that you've gotten to the place where you feel worthless, where you've considered hurting yourself. And I want to just encourage you, would you please talk to somebody? Right, we'll put on the screen the national and the local hotlines. If you feel comfortable calling those numbers and having a conversation, or we have pastors, we have volunteers here today that would love to talk with you, to pray over you. And we just want you to know that you are valuable to us. And more importantly, you are valuable to God. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. But depression is a real issue. It's something that many people face today. And if you are struggling with dark and negative thoughts in your head, I want you to know four things. The first thing I want you to know is you are not alone. You are not alone. What's interesting is, yes, we've been talking about depression in our culture. It's been kind of a hot button issue over the last 20 years, but this is not a new problem. It's an ancient one. If you read the Bible, there were many people, men and women, who struggled with the darkness looming over their heads. And so this is not something new. Even though we're more aware of it today, it's not a new problem. And you're not the only one who is struggling with it. But here's what I know about our enemy. Is our enemy, when you struggle with depression, the main thing he's going to try to do is isolate you. He's going to whisper lies in your head. He's going to tell you there's something wrong with you. How could you think that way? Especially with Christians, he's going to whisper you, how could you love God and think like that? And he's whispering those lies into your head so he can isolate you. So his voice is the only voice you listen to. We have to break free from that. We can't believe his lies. And today, I want you to know you are not alone. People are struggling with this. People have won the battle and they are here for you. You're not alone for two reasons. You're not alone because God is with you and he is for you. Right? We serve an amazing God who promises us through the mountain peaks and the successes of our life, through the struggles and the hardship of our life, he promises to never leave you nor forsake you, to walk with you even through your struggles. And what's amazing about God, it's not only is he with you, but when you struggle, God isn't like, seriously, pull yourself together. God is not like, come on, this again. You know what God looks at you in the midst of your struggle with? Compassion. In fact, I love what John Mark Comer says about this. He says, the Father, that's God, is by default compassionate. The first thing on his self-descriptor list in Exodus 34 of what God is like, he is compassionate. Someone needs to hear this today. His baseline emotional disposition towards you, it's not anger. It's not hate. It's not, come on, get your act together. No, it's compassion. So we want to live in that compassion of the Father, and not only live in it, but practice giving it to the people to our right and to our left. So you are not alone. God is with you. He's for you. He gives you compassion. Third, you're not alone because God's people are here for you. This is why we exist as a church. Too many people today think the church is buildings that we go to. No, it's a people we gather with. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are his children, and we should be there for one another. That's why we're here. We're here to spur each other, encourage each other on to good deeds. And that's why we as a church will annoy you to death to tell you to get outside of the crowd and into community. It's why we will tell you that you got to get outside of the large group and into a small group. Do you want to know why? It's not because it's a good strategy. It's because in the crowd, you can get lost. In the crowd, you can walk in through these doors. You can worship. You can put your hands in the air. You can be like, that was a great sermon. And you can walk and no one will ever know what's going on right here. But when you get into community, when you get into a relationship, you can actually share your struggles with people. You can actually have people who will walk beside you, who will encourage you, will speak truth into your life. And here's what I know about depression, talking to so many people who wrestle with it, is sometimes when you're depressed, you can't even tell yourself hopeful things. That's why you need a friend who will preach the gospel to you, who will offer light in spite of your hopelessness. You are not alone. God is for you. He's with you. God's people are with you. And fourth thing you need to know is God is not surprised by your struggle, and he offers you hope in the midst of it. You know, one thing I love and appreciate about Jesus is when he did ministry, he didn't sugarcoat things for people. He didn't make it seem like it was better than it really was gonna be. Right, Jesus offered us hope, but he also offered us reality. And in fact, one great example of this is when Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he says these words to him. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. So Jesus says, hey, you can have peace despite the storms, despite the chaos, despite your circumstances because of me. But then here's the reality. He says, but in this world, you will have trouble. It's not gonna be all roses and fun. It's gonna be difficult. Your circumstances are gonna be hard. Your mind is gonna be a battle. He says, but let me give you hope. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I've already won the battle you're going to face. And so Jesus doesn't tell people, hey, if you follow me, life is gonna be easy. No, he says it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be trouble. There's gonna be hardship in your mind and in your circumstances, but you can have hope because of what I've accomplished. So David, through his life, he's like, God, how long? How long am I gonna have to wrestle with my thoughts? How long am I gonna have to deal with this sorrow? And so the question is when we feel like David did, when the darkness, the barrage of negativity hits our head and won't seem to go away, what do we do? How do we win the battle? And I hope you know what's coming. If you've been here for this series over 5 weeks, we've introduced strategies for every topic that sits in your head of how we navigate the battle in our minds. Hopefully they become rhythmic to you. The first thing we do, even with depression, is we observe and we examine our thoughts. If you don't know what's in your head, how do you even think you're gonna fix it? Change it. In part, when it comes to depression, when it comes to the darkness that sits in our minds and in our heads, I think when we observe and examine our thoughts, we have to locate what is causing the negative and dark thoughts. What is the source? What's the root of what's causing me to think this way? Is it a circumstance that I navigated through? Is it a trauma that I have experienced? What is really driving the negativity that surrounds my head? And to be honest, sometimes that journey to find the source is really difficult. I would encourage you, if you've been wrestling with depression for a while, maybe to go find, to observe and examine your thoughts. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you need to go to a professional counselor who will help navigate that journey with you. Or maybe you need to go see a doctor who might be able to see if there's a medical reasoning why this is happening. But we have to observe and examine our thoughts. We have to know the source of the darkness. And when we know that source, guess what we do? The most important thing. We take that darkness to the light. We pray our thoughts to God. We have real and honest conversations in our relationship with Jesus. We tell him what we're struggling with. Can I tell you what I love about Jesus? He's always available. Yes. He's always available. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. No matter how bad it is, he's always available. And not only is he always available, but he's a safe place for you to process your thoughts with. You know, I think one of the scariest things for people who struggle with depression is to actually tell somebody. Because if they told a friend or a family member, they're terrified of being judged, condemned, right? They feel less than, especially like as Christians, we feel like if I struggle with depression, I'm like a less than Christian. That's not true. David, king of Israel, prophet Elijah, struggled with dark thoughts. But we're terrified to tell someone. The great news is Jesus is always available and he's a safe place for you to tell him what you're struggling with. And honestly, can I just be real for a second? I think as Christians, we got to get past these like really traditional, regularized prayers that we give to God. We're like, hey, God, everything's pretty good. I hope you're doing good. Like, no. You know what I appreciate about David? Is he don't sugarcoat it. He's like, yo, God, how long is this going to last? How long are you going to watch evil win? How long am I going to have to wrestle in my head and deal with this pain and sorrow? Come on, God, where is the victory? I think some of us today, we need to learn to pray like that. Not God, give God some like phony facade. Oh, God, I'm good because I'm a strong Christian, God, and strong Christians don't struggle with anything. That's bull crap. There's another word for it. I'm not allowed to say it, all right? But honestly, we need to be real with God. Tell him, God, I can't get the darkness out of my head. God, I don't know what to do with this. Help me. Give me victory. God, how long am I going to have to deal with this? And when we take our struggle to God, when we're real and authentic with him, what he does is he enables us to rest our thoughts. Or he gives us a break from the barrage of darkness, the barrage of negativity, and he gives our mind, even just for a second, a moment, a minute, a day, to catch its breath. You see, resting your thoughts is not this stop thinking. It's focusing on something else. I think this is why in David's prayer, he said to God, give light to my eyes. God, give me hope, because if you don't, I'm going to die. I'm going to sleep in death. Do you see how desperate David is? Like, the darkness is pressing in. God, I need some light. How do we get light in the darkness? I think sometimes we just gotta take hard steps. I think some of you today who are struggling with depression, I think you just gotta go home, and when the darkness presses in, you gotta put your headphones on, you gotta jam the worship music. It's the last music you wanna listen to, but it's the music you need to hear as the truth of God pours over your heart. Some of us, we just need to open our Bible, and I know it's the last book you want to read, but you just need to read the words of God to you. Allow his truth to pour over your life. Some of you just need to get together with people you love, play games, and smile a little bit, feel a little bit of hope. Some of us, we just need to get out in creation and take a walk and see God's vastness, his beauty, see how awesome and amazing God is. Or honestly, some of us, we just need to go to a doctor. And ask him, hey, can you help me with this journey? The point is, it's just to get a break from the darkness, the barrage of negativity, and feel just a little bit of hope. To rest our thoughts so ultimately we can repair our minds, repair our thoughts. Listen to me. If your thoughts are wrong, if your thoughts are damaging, if your thoughts are destructive, you need to change them. Something has to begin to renew your mind. It has to change the way you think. Some of us just need to preach the truth to ourselves, or have a friend preach it to you, that God loves you and he's for you, that you are not alone in this struggle, that Christ has already overcome, that he is good and he is faithful and he gives you hope. David, how long, God? How long am I gonna have to wrestle with these thoughts and this sorrow? You know what I've always wondered? How long did David pray that prayer? Was it days? Months? Years? Decades? How long did he have to sit in the darkness? We don't know. But we know at some point in David's life, his mind began to shift. He began to change his thoughts, because look how he finishes. He says, but despite the darkness, I will trust in your unfailing love. Despite my circumstances, I will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Something changed in David. His mind began to shift. And I believe today, in the darkness that we wrestle with, instead of asking questions, we need to make statements to our minds. You see, instead of wondering today, God, why have you forgotten me? You remind yourself today that I am not forsaken, that I am not alone. My God is with me. Instead of wondering, God, why are you gone? Where are you distant in my life? You remind yourself that God is always with you. In the midst of your struggle, he walks beside you. Instead of wondering, why do I have to go through this? Why is this sorrow upon me? You remind yourself that God uses your pain to sanctify you, to grow you closer to him. But most importantly, when the darkness closes in deep enough and long enough, and you look at the world and you wonder, why does it feel like evil is winning? Remind yourself of the gospel that Jesus Christ has already overcome your darkness. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, I have hope despite what I face, that one day that darkness has already been defeated. Do you know what that does for you? Is it gives you hope. Hope despite feeling hopeless, light in the midst of the darkness. And so this battle that wages in our head is ultimately a battle for faith, a faith that will draw us closer to the Father, not farther away. And yet we still face this struggle. And if I'm honest with you today, I can't promise you that you will walk out of here completely healed, even though I'm believing that in the name of Jesus. I can't promise you that the depression you wrestle with will ever go away here on earth. But what I can boldly stand and say to you today is if you believe in Jesus, his cross, his resurrection, one day you won't have to deal with the darkness anymore. One day you will stand beside him in victory because of what he accomplished for you. That's the truth of the gospel. But in the meantime, as you wrestle with the dark thoughts, here's what I want you to know. We are here for you. You matter to this church, and we will walk with you through every struggle that you face. But most importantly, God is with you, and he is for you. Let's pray together. God, I just pray hope over this place. It is so easy, especially in the political climate, especially with the mental health crisis. You can look around and it's easy to find darkness, God. But I pray as followers of Christ that we would see beyond that, over the horizon, we would see the hope of the gospel, and it would help us in the midst of the darkness that we face today. God, give us hope today. Breathe light into our darkness. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.